Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Wow, it's a privilege that God has given me again to speak in front of you in this place today. Life hacks. I know we've been tackling this for 7 weeks already, and this week will be the last week of life hacks. And we have tackled worry, busyness, emo, indecisiveness, valleys, hurts. And today, we will tackle about future. Church, future is very important, right? Who among you is scared of their future? Raise your hands. Oh, no one. Wow, this is different. Okay, so no one is afraid of their future. But I'm telling you, I just lost my job. I am ending my contract with my school on June 30. And that is next week. And later, I will show to you how God moved in many ways in my life. And I will testify to you the goodness and greatness of our Lord. Because this is about future. Life hacks. A life hack is a usually simple and clever tip or technique for accomplishing some familiar task more easily and efficiently. A strategy or technique adopted in order to manage one's time and daily activities in a more efficient way. Maybe I'm not a life hack people man, but I like doing things on my own. Like fixing, learning how to fix a computer, how to paint a car using a spray can, and eventually selling that 80 ringgit car for 3,300 ringgit. God has taught me many things in this life, and I will share to you those promises and steps how God moved in my life. Let's all stand up as we read Psalms 23. And I want you to declare loudly verse 6 as we give reverence to the Word of God. Let's all read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head and with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Lord, as we culminate, Lord, as we close this life hack series today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will anoint me, Lord, as I preach to your children, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will prepare our hearts and our minds, Lord, as we listen to your words, Lord. And we will go out of this place, Lord, filled, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, filled with your wisdom, inspired by your word, Lord. And we will testify of your goodness in our lives, Lord. Lord, we give you back all the glory and all the honor, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all sit down. Future. Our title for today is Life Hacks. Future, Life Hacks in discovering God's beautiful future for you. Who among you wants to have a beautiful future? Amen. Who among you wants to get married one day? For all the singles. Yes, there is. Who wants to graduate with the best grades in university? Yes, there is. Who wants to be successful in their business? Yes. Who wants to be successful in their careers? Yes. So there is a lot of future. So today's objectives, there are three objectives. Number one is that you will know the current condition on how you see your future. As you are seated in this place today, the first part that you will know is that what is the condition on how I see my future? Is it aligned with the Word of God? Is it aligned with God's promises? Is it aligned with God's future, with God's plan? Second is that you will know the steps in discovering God's future. What are the steps in achieving, in following God's future? And thirdly, you will walk in God's perspective for your future. As you go out of this place today, I want you and I want to see, God wants to see you having His perspective in your lives, understanding it completely. As we go in the background of Psalms 23, we all know that this is a Psalm of David. He is known as a man after God's own heart. He became a shepherd. He became a servant. He became a soldier who killed Goliath. And he became the king of Israel. Second king of Israel, to be exact. Many Bible scholars believe that this psalm was written during the rebellion of his son Absalom. If you will read 2 Samuel chapter 13 to 19, you will see the whole story of that story of Absalom. You will see there that Absalom is rebelling, he's taking over the country. He eventually was able to sit on Jerusalem after David defeated him. Church, we may be experiencing the most difficult moments in our lives. What are you doing when you are experiencing the most difficult situations in your life? So, what is future? And what does it mean? According to the dictionary, it is a period of time that is to come. Dreams, ambitions, success, life ahead, destiny, tomorrow, potential direction, expectation, plans, and many more. Church, I would like to ask you today, what is your dream? What is your plan? Is it aligned with God's plan? How do you see your future? Are you someone who believes in horoscopes? Every day that you read horoscope, oh, this is the one that is happening in my life today. I will find 1 million ringgit under my bed. Are you that kind of person? Or are you that kind of person who goes to this with the one with the crystal ball and say, oh, this is your future. You will marry such a handsome guy with two front big white teeth. And you will find that person. Oh, you're the one. Oh, you're my heaven sent. Are you that kind of person? Or are you this kind of person that you always wear charms? I'm wearing my lucky jacket. And without it, my day is miserable. How do you see your future? As you are listening to this message today, I will give you questions. And as I give you these questions, I want you to reflect on how these questions are and how God is speaking in your hearts. First question is this. Do you know your current condition on how you see your future? Are you so preoccupied with your work? Are you so preoccupied with your studies? Are you so preoccupied with amassing more wealth, more things in your life, and forgetting everything? I have this story that I will share to you today. This is the story of a child with 3 pet mice. So this child loves taking care of pets. So he made an experiment. So the first one is that he put blindfold with his first mice. And what happens is that this mice just roam around, bumping all walls, bumping all the furniture, because he couldn't see anything. And in the second one is that he locked him on his wheel until he can't do it anymore. So after 2 hours of running on a wheel, suddenly the wheel stopped and the mice doesn't have any energy. And the third one is a mice put in a maze where there is a reward at the end, which is a cheese. And this mice, after a few minutes, manage to see the cheese and eat it. So church, this is like you in your life. Blank. You might be this person. Blank. Clueless. Are you this kind of person that is clueless about your future? Are you this kind of person who doesn't know about Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? That he doesn't know what future lies in front of him? Are you this kind of person who is clueless about God's future? Who is clueless what God has in store for you? What kind of promises? How wonderful God is? Are you someone who hasn't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then that is your life. Blank. And if you are blind and you are blank, how can you gather your friends? How can you lead your family if you yourself is blind? Next one. Are you this kind of person? We all love this kind of picture. The easy one. There's the finish line. I finish primary. I finish secondary. I finish university. Get my master's. Get my PhD. Work in a company. Start my own business. Start a family. Done. I'm done. Is that you? Your perfect plan. Idealistic plan. You think this is God's plan for me, but in reality, it is not God's plan. God's plan is there behind you, because you are the one driving your own life. Although you have been a Christian for so long, you have forgotten that who is the Savior of your life, who is the Lord of your life, and you are the one driving still. God wants to drive your own destiny, your own life, but He cannot drive your own destiny unless otherwise you give Him the steering wheel. He will take you to a lot of wonderful journeys. Beautiful journeys, I'm telling you. If you give Him control. And you might be telling me, why can't I see God's plan? It's because of this. It is covered in sin. You might be harboring sins in your life. That's why you cannot see it. You are so preoccupied with your work, amassing more and more money, making your body more handsome, more beautiful, making your car more shiny, I'm telling you, there are a lot of things in life that blocks you from seeing the Word of God, God's future plan for you. And this is the third kind. Are you this kind of person who is climbing the journey that God has prepared for you? Do you still remember the day that you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? For me, I still remember. I got saved November 1, 1987. Because I was stopping my dad from leaving, going to a preaching invitation. And I was scared of losing my dad because there are things. But when he said, "Why are you scared?" Then on that night, he shared to me Jesus Christ. And I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I was 7 years old that day. And that started my journey as a Christian. And through all these years, I learned to trust God. Maybe there are times in my life that I'm still driving my own destiny. But I remembered this day when I got married, I was trembling in fear. After the wedding, and men, do not be afraid of getting married. You are missing the most beautiful part of your life, having children. And you lost half of the journey if you're not getting married. But I'm telling you, getting married is one of the most beautiful things that will ever happen in your life. I remember this day when I got married. We just finished all the pageantry. All of our guests left already. And we are in this place in Tagaytay. For those who have been in Tagaytay, we were blessed to have a place where it is overlooking Taal Volcano. And in that place, I was trembling in fear because I told God, "Lord, this is a very big decision that I made today." I was crying because I don't know, Lord, how to become a dad. I don't know how to become a father. I don't know how to become a husband. I remember in that prayer, "Lord, teach me how. I surrender to you, Lord, the future of my family. Teach me how. You've been faithful to my dad. You have been faithful to my grandfather. And Lord, I want to remember, I want to experience the same faithfulness that God, that you have given to them." I'm telling you, church, Christ not only desires your faith, but He is also caring for your future. And He has a bright future ahead of you. When I started this sermon, I told you guys, I just lost my job. If God is not with me, if Jesus is not in my heart, I'm telling you this, I might have died already. For this year, last year, God stirred up my heart. He told me that, "AJ, I will move you to a different location. AJ, I will move you to a different location." And I believe, Lord. So I've been praying for this school, Dalat. I've been praying, Lord. And it's so difficult. I've been praying for it for 8 months already. And for 8 months, I also tried Vietnam, Thailand, Indonesia, Middle East, and other international schools here in Malaysia. and God is silent. God is telling me, no. How would you react if God is telling you, no? Difficult, right? And when we went home last December, so my wife is complaining, can we have an executive checkup? By the December 26th, we just knew she's pregnant again. Another blessing. By 2019, this 2019, all of the things that I have past resumes, no one is replying. And I am ending contract on June 30. So I'm still praying, Lord, what is your perfect will in my life? I'm telling you, church, every journey that is in that picture, God is revealing how wonderful God is. It doesn't just stop when you just knew Him as your Lord and Savior. He is revealing to you how wonderful, how faithful God is. And He's revealing that in your life. Every season of your life. There will be valleys. There will be crevices. There will be trials. There will be tears. There will be happiness. I'm telling you, the journey is not pleasant. But I'm telling you, it's the most wonderful journey of all. It is not the journey that you see in movies that you know already what will happen. He gives those plots that you don't know. That's so amazing. And what God did is that, so God says no to Dalat. So I told God, so do you want me to continue? So the Lord says, go ahead. So I talked to my boss, I want to consider renewing for the company for 2 more years for another year of contract. And what God did is that in the 29th, God blessed us with baby products. Although used, God blessed me with a crib. God blessed me with a carrier. God blessed me with a car seat. Everything for the baby. So, Lord, you're telling me you want me to stay. So, yes. So, Lord, okay, I'm going to talk to my boss. So, what happens after talking to my boss is that 30, they called me in the office. They said, AJ, I'm sorry, we will not be continuing you. How would you feel if one day your boss will tell you, you will be losing your job? Your wife is pregnant. You don't have a lot of savings. You don't have a home to go back in the Philippines because someone is living there already. But I just trusted the Lord. May 1. I still remember. God is telling me, postpacum. I know you understand what postpacum is, right? So when you're selling your car, you always need postpacum. God was so annoying that day. He's telling me, postpacum, postpacum, postpacum. Lord, I lost my job. You're telling me postpacum. May 1. I sealed the deal selling the car for $3,300. On that month as well, God gave me a second car. This time, free. The car that I'm using right now is free. God gave it to me because God wants me to stay. The reason why God is telling me Pospakum is because when you activate that account in Pospakum, you have to go to your email. And underneath that Pospakum email is the email of the school that I've been applying. Not just once. I applied to that school twice. The first time that I applied on that school is on January. No one replied. And before, around May 20 to 30, people are telling me, apply on this school, apply on this school. Not knowing, I have Muslim friends, I have Indian friends, I have Christian friends. All of them are telling me, apply on this school. Again. So you're telling me, Lord, you want me to apply again, ah? And lo and behold, I checked the job street. They haven't found any art teacher from January until May. So I tried again. And this time, the Lord revealed to me the email of the principal. And the principal emailed me. Please come for interview. After a week, I got interviewed. Then another week, I got interviewed by the CEO. Then after a week, they gave me an offer letter and a contract for 3 years to stay in Malaysia. The very reason why God is silent, I'm telling you, it's because, and Brother Terrence knows about this because he is the one who approved this loan to that school. When I was driving going to KL, God made me realize, why am I silent for 8 months? It's because I am building the school where you will be going. He gave me times two salary. He gave me cost of living allowance. He gave me scholarship for my children, for two children, 100%. He gave me insurance for the whole family. He gave me hospitalization for the whole family. And I have free tickets back and forth to the Philippines on a yearly basis. That is how amazing God is. God is challenging you today, church. God wants you to experience the way I experience Him. And I will share to you now, what are those steps? What are the steps in discovering God's future for you? All of the verses that I have put here is based on how God moved in my life throughout these months and through my devotions. And I'm telling you this, and I'm sharing you this, because I believe you will experience the same things that I am experiencing right now. And God wants me to share those steps to you. Let's start. The first step and the most important step of all is believe and trust. Psalm 23 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Take note of that verse. David didn't use, "The Lord is the shepherd." No. Take note, "The Lord is my shepherd." There is personal. You need to know Jesus personally in your life so that you could know Him as your shepherd. In Acts 16:31, this is the time when Paul and Silas were imprisoned. And when there was a great earthquake, all of their shackles were gone, and the guard was so scared. And he asked them, "How can I be saved?" "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." If you are spiritually blind, church, the very first important step in knowing your future is believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is no other way written in the Bible or in this world but just believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is the most important step. The second step of this is believe and trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your straight your paths." Trust in the Lord. Church, you don't base your faith on your bank account. You don't base your faith in your ability, in what you have finished. You might have finished all the PhDs, doctorate degrees, all of these things. I'm telling you, this is rubbish in front of the Lord. Because once you get to heaven, that's unimportant. So stop trusting in your abilities. Stop trusting in your own strength. Stop trusting in your own, and start trusting in the Lord. God wants you to trust Him with all your heart. Even though you see a dead end, I'm telling you, there are many times I see dead ends. There was a time when I was trapped, before I went here, God told me, literally, AJ, I want you to become a teacher. So I believe, yes, Lord, I believe you want me to become a teacher. So Lord, I will take teaching degree in the Philippines. The best teaching university in the Philippines is Philippine Normal University. I took the exam. I failed. I asked God, "Lord, I thought you wanted me to become a teacher. Why do you want me to fail?" You know why? I want a shortcut for you. No need of wasting 2 years of studying. Come here in Malaysia. After a month, God opened up Malaysia to me. Why? It's because I'm trusting Him. That when He gives a block, He will find a way in your lives. All you need to do is trust Him and lean not on your own understanding. People may say, "Oh, this is the way, this is the way, this is the way." I'm telling you, God has other plans. His ways are unorthodox. Sometimes the ways that you are thinking is not His ways. And I'm telling you, He will make your straight paths. Number two is wait and obey. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Church, you might be seeing a mountain in this picture. But you see every flag, Lord's blessing in your life. That every season that God is putting you is a green pasture. You might see rocks, you might be seeing incremental difficulty, but I'm telling you, God is training you to have a very strong faith. God wants you to experience His power in your life so that you could testify in front right now. And I'm telling you, I am here right now because of God's grace and God's faithfulness. And you could share that Lord's faithfulness in your lives as well. That is what God wants you to do. And in every season, God is strengthening your bones. God is strengthening your faith. God is strengthening your endurance and even molding your attitude. He is training you for righteousness. And in that every season, I'm telling you, there will be crevices. There will be a lot of valleys. But I'm telling you, if you are obeying the Lord, you will still see green pastures, even though the whole, everything that is around you is desolate. That is how amazing God is. And if you are tired, Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not weary. They shall walk and not faint." Church, if the Lord is telling you to wait, wait patiently. Do not get that driver's seat from Him. He's asking you, wait. And as you wait for the Lord, He will give you the patience to endure, even that if that is the most difficult workplace that you are in. If you are in those most difficult times, I'm telling you, the Lord will renew your strength. The Lord will strengthen you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. That is how faithful God is. You might be asking, how long will I wait? I'm telling you, I don't know how long I waited for this job that I will start on August. But I'm telling you, the journey is amazing. It's like you're in a bus field trip and you are enjoying the scenery with God and He's driving it. There are a lot of times that I'm crying, but it is fulfilling because it is teaching me, God is teaching me to exercise my faith. Step 3, set and seek. Psalms 23:3 says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Take note of that word, lead. Lead is synonymous for someone who is someone is in front of you. In Psalm 16:8 says, "I have set the Lord continually before me, because He is my right hand and I will not be shaken." The Lord is telling you, set Him in front. It is not you in front and the Lord at the back. The Lord is telling you today, set Him in front of your priorities. If you are praying for something that is a new job, you ask the Lord, "Lord, is this your will? Is this your perfect will?" If you are wanting to court a person, you ask the Lord, "Lord, is this the perfect person that is according to your will?" If this is your new job, "Lord, is this the new job that you're asking me to do? Is this the right decision?" You set the Lord. In your prayer, set the Lord in front of you. In every decision, God wants you to set Him first. And in Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." Sometimes you just see this and this. But God wants to see you something more majestic. That will reveal His glory. That will reveal His faithfulness. That will reveal His character. And God is saying this, that seek first His kingdom. Whenever you wake up, what is the first thing that you are holding? Is it your Bible? Are you kneeling down and praying? Or are you texting already? 300 likes already. More. Are you like that person? Oh, my game is already expiring. I need to feed my piranha. Like those things. Or are you checking your WhatsApp? Oh, what's the job? What's the job description already? Are you that kind of person? Are you seeking first God? Are you asking God, Lord, what is your plan for me today? What is your instruction? What do you want me to discover through your words? Are you seeking that first? Not just His kingdom, His righteousness. I'm telling you, if sin is there in your life, you will not see God's plan. You have to surrender that sin in your life for you to see clearly God's plan in your life. If you are addicted to pornography, you are addicted to games, you are addicted to a lot of things, I'm telling you guys, church, if that is not righteous in front of the Lord, then you're not seeking Him first. And you will not experience these things that He will add to you. Fourth is be strong and courageous. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Church, in your journey with God, I'm telling you, you will see a lot of disappointments. You will see a lot of trials. You will see a lot of tribulations. You will see a lot of valleys. And sometimes it is the darkest ones, most difficult ones. You might be crying. You might get also bankrupt. But I'm telling you this, be strong and courageous. When Joshua was entering the promised land, he was instructed to be strong and courageous, for you shall give the people possession of the land, which I swore to their fathers to give them. And in this passage in Joshua, the Lord says, He will never leave you nor forsake you, even if it is the most darkest time in your life. He wants you to be strong and courageous. If you see a wall blocking you, be courageous. And go forth, pierce it by faith. God wants you to look beyond and be strong and courageous in Him. For you to experience God's plan in your life. There are times that those valleys you cannot avoid. But I'm telling you, after the valley, there is the Lord's blessing. And when you have been tested, you will reap the rewards. Church, while we are here on earth, I'm telling you, those are the steps that you have to take as God is training you for righteousness, because God has a plan for you. God has a special future that God has in store for you. But that is also a reality for those who doesn't have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There is hell. And that is reality as well. For our application, God wants you to walk in His perspective for your life. God is putting you in those areas, in universities, in the gym, in when you are talking, you are in your workplace, because God wants you to be an influence. God wants to use you for His glory. God wants you to share His goodness to others. God wants you to share His love, His saving grace. That is what God wants you. That's why when God blesses you and puts you in those situations, God wants you to testify that He is the only way, the truth, and the life. And apart from Him, there is nothing else. God's plan for your future is perfect. The reason why it is, you can say it's muddy or imperfect, is because you are the one driving it. And you do not let God drive your life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God has a perfect plan for you. And in Psalm 81, verse 16 says, but He would feed you with the finest of the wheat and with honey and from the rock. I will satisfy you. That's how good the Lord is. When you obey Him, you will eat the finest wheat of the land. Now, church, are you willing to make that step? Whenever, wherever God is putting you, you honor God and make disciples. When God put you to this university, God wants you to honor Him with your life. And as you honor Him with your life, you make disciples. You share the love of Jesus Christ to others, so that others may experience the wonderful future that Jesus has in store for them. And only Jesus can give. For today's challenge, church, if you are this person that is currently still blind, blank, clueless, and you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now is the time for you to experience that first amazing step of that journey with Jesus. If you are that person today, I want you to raise your hand, and I will lead you in that prayer. The second one, if you are this person, you've been a Christian for so long already. You have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you have forgotten that you are the one still driving and not God the one driving your life. And you're still thinking this way, and you want to surrender that future to the Lord Jesus Christ. God is telling you today, He's asking you to surrender that life to Him, because He will make the most beautiful journey you could ever imagine. And if you're that person, raise your hands. And if you are this person, who is traveling this God's perfect plan. And you are experiencing the most difficult situations in your life right now, but you're still trusting Him. God is telling you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is telling you today that I hold your future. You never give up. You never surrender. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God is reminding you today that you shall mount on wings of eagles. You shall not grow weary. You shall not grow weak. And you will be strengthened each and every day. If you are that person, raise your hand. Church, let's all stand up. Lord, thank you for this day that you have given us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you care for our future. You care for not just my future, but the future of my family, the future of our loved ones, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you are here, Lord. You will never leave us nor forsake us. You are our good, great shepherd, Lord. You are omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, Lord. And we would like to acknowledge you that, Lord, in our lives, Lord. Lord, if some of us here today, Lord, who haven't submitted, surrendered their lives to you, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, Lord, so that they may experience you, Lord, as their Lord and Savior. If there's someone here, Lord, that is in a hamster wheel, Lord, who is very tired of doing the same things over and over again, I pray for this person, Lord, that you will bless this person, Lord, to take off the wheel of his life, and you take over that life, Lord, starting this day, Lord. You will take over that person's life future. You will take over that person's life dreams. And you will show that person the wonderful journey that only you can give. And Lord, if there are persons here, Lord, who are very tired already waiting for your will, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will strengthen them, Lord. You will remind them, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And you will be the one, Lord, reminding them, Lord, that you are a faithful God. And the one who started your life, your salvation, will be the one who will deliver them all. For your God is faithful. He is able and mighty in power. Lord, we praise you and thank you, Lord. And as we leave this place today, Lord, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell with you forever. Let us have this mindset. And as we leave this place today, Lord, we will have that kind of perspective, knowing that you are in control and that you love us and you care for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.